Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Today.
We can't stop snapping. It's the patch episode, coming a little bit closer on the heels of our episode than it normally does after that delay. But ooh, it is a doozy. A lot of stuff to look forward to. U.S. Agent came out in the most horrible of ways with the busted caches. But yeah. Compensation coming out with, I think, many people, I'll say it already, myself included, very happy that I'm getting my keys refunded for U.S. Agent. And then the real fun stuff is the data mine of stuff that is coming out. I spy with my little eyes some other cards that I don't think can possibly release in the stats that is being data mined.
Yep.
Brad, start us out. This new Electra gold bundle. Isn't it crazy that like a gold bundle being offered is a newsworthy headline? Do we buy this? Am I supposed to buy the Electra gold bundle?
It's what, 2,000 gold for 2,000 tokens, the Electra variant, some boosters, yep. Then 500
only 500 credits.
I guess you could. See, I'm irresponsible. I used my 2,000 plus gold on the Miss Minutes emote. I couldn't resist. I just couldn't. I know it's outrageously priced. You should not get them unless you're in a position where you can.
Yeah.
Like nearly $30 for an emote's crazy, but probably going to be the only one I do purchase.
The cosmetics on the one hand, I actually like the exclusivity of the emotes, of them being a way to like kind of show off like I really went out for this. On the other hand, it is sad that they are so expensive, but for people that it would be harder to be able to obtain. But I guess there's plenty of different emotes that you can get on a more free-to-play kind of track. So what do you think of the cosmetic store overall? I'll say it, disappointed. I wanted this to be the chance to see like new card borders and some other effects rather than only avatars and emotes. But
lucky for you, that is coming.
But I wanted it now, basically. Yeah, I'm impatient.
But it's all, not only will it be card borders, but splits.
Yes.
Which I don't like that.
You don't like that? They're calling it the deep space split is like the one we know about. And then there's going to be some others.
I would like to just have that be released into the game.
Well, on the one hand, I would love for a way to be able, even if it is spending gold, but just in some way to be able to focus my acquisition. But yeah, I would wish them to be generally applicable. Like if it's something that's like, hey, it's twice as likely that I get noirs because that's how I want to shape my collection, I'd like that. But if it's something like the only way that I can get this is to buy it and then I still have to split and have absorbent number of times to get it, then it's going to be very frustrating.
I have a feeling it's going to be that.
What I said, the latter.
Yeah. But before we move on to the patch and like that, I got to remind everybody, hey, join the Patreon. Got two things going on real quick. So we have the first ever live. I mean, well, it's live now in some instance. But what's normally a paid thing, part of the tiers, we're going to have a live episode next Thursday. So again, go to patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping and you can join as a free member and you'll be able to see the live episode. So we got a bunch of people in already. And on top of that, go sub to the YouTube, also at Can't Stop Snapping on YouTube. We're actually doing pretty good so far. We got about 1,000 views on the most recent episode. The other one a couple weeks ago had about 3,000. This one's going on 1,000. The Loki one's got a few hundred, which speaking of bonus episodes, we will be doing another bonus episode soon. Teddy.
Oh.
Guess what?
What?
Guess what deck we're going to be doing?
Oh, no.
On by the Patreon members.
Is it Move?
No.
Oh, thank you.
I did not include that in there.
Okay.
But it's adjacent.
Phoenix Force?
Nah, Bounce.
Oh, let's go.
So our next bonus episode will be on Bounce, the backseat gaming, so to speak. Yep. How do you like my thumbnail on the how to play thing? Because each one is going to be this exact same thing. It's just this Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny, kind of going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the other one.
It's looking Thanos. Sharp. It is looking sharp.
So this is the Thanos one. It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's great. Got to be consistent. Who do you think should it be Beast? Should Beast be the face of the next
He's
one?
He's the titular bouncing mechanic. Yeah. He's the one that has stayed steady. I think the early days of Bounce, they might have actually had Bishop there as a more iconic, but it's definitely a Beast that's been the through line.
Right.
Even well, across many different balance changes on his side, like, man, that guy has been changed a lot.
So, yeah, please go sub. We're almost at 200 subs. Hopefully we can get there by the time this next episode goes live for everybody.
Road to 1K, guys. Road to 1K.
Yeah, that's the goal. And, I mean, look, we're catching traction on the algorithm, so YouTube's showing us some love. It's just, hey, if you're going to be one of these 1,000 people that watch, can you just hit that sub button, please? Just please, please and thank you. Anyway.
You know who's not getting a lot of love, Brad?
All these people?
You as agent. Do we want to touch on him or do we want to go into the changes?
Well, I think we should go into the changes first because the U.S. agent has a happy ending. So I'd like to go from patch to U.S. agent to then we can go to the data mines.
Nice. All right. Eliath. Ooh, the big purple fart cloud changed from 6-2. He's being rehabilitated. They felt like it was just too frustrating to play against. Like, he's gone the path basically of old Spider-Man, of just being too hated. Mm-hmm. So he got changed. And I guess old leader as well. 6-8 now on reveal. Remove the text from all unrevealed enemy cards here. You will still get their power. You will not get their abilities. Can still break the back of plenty of decks, is still going to be amazing in a lot of different situations. And really, it's a shot in the dark at how much power it takes to balance this, like in terms of the body, right? Going from 6-2 to 6-8. This guy, I'm sure, is going to get changed again. But now I think the ability is going to stay.
Yeah. Off-rip did not like this change because I felt that. I get it. It's a feels bad. And I understand that people don't like having their stuff destroyed in this fashion. But I feel like sometimes you need these polarizing effects in games to really drive home a point of like, this is a huge aspect of the game. You need to understand how that works. And this is a great test of priority.
It is when it's that guessing game of, oh, where do they play? And I have to win two of the three locations. But when sometimes, often locations are naturally locked down, and then you have the ability with other card effects to guarantee locking down other locations, that's where you hit the feels bad, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's weird because...
It's also the double-edged of Shang and Eliath. It's like, I gotcha either way. If I go first, I wipe you out. If I go last... I wipe you out.
But here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. I don't like the direction that Snap is going in when it comes to design, where any and all feels bad kind of effects aren't allowed, seemingly. I feel like it's a little bit going against their own philosophy because... Okay. At its core, Snap is not a card game necessarily. It's a test of bluffing and, you know, cube management. It's poker, right?
Yeah, it is a card game still, but it's not Magic. It's not Legends of Runeterra.
So you're not seeing through a lot of these games. You're encouraged to retreat.
You need to play the odds in your mind and Snap retreat accordingly.
So I find it weird that like in a game that is designed around quick 3-minute games and encouraged to leave and surrender for a lesser of a hit, so that way you can go into the next game and have a bigger reward potentially,
right?
I find it weird, like, who cares about feels bad cards, you know? Like, that, like, that's my kind of thing on it. Like, I don't want every deck to be like, you know, old Spider-Man, Professor X, like the same thing. But like, I think you can have some of these effects in the game, like Leech, for example. If you get leeched and you go look and you're like, well, I can't win off pure power, I guess, so I'm going to leave. Well, that's fine. You just dip out for a cube or two and then you go into the next one. It's like they want to have their cake and eat it too. And it's a little weird.
I do get what you're saying entirely. But I just kind of see that as like basically an improvement on Snap to some other games, is that you can live with bad cards because you have outs, but I'd rather there not be the bad cards that cause the frustration in the first place. And like, while yes, Snap is at the core, like your efficiency on snapping and retreating, The pinnacle of snap is when you've both snapped and are both willing to stay in.
Right.
The 8-cube flip, or even, I mean, the 4-cube flip, but actually seeing what the final turn resolve happens, that is the most exciting point. And so having that happen more often rather than clear situations where one side is just going to leave, I like more. And so Eliath was creating plenty of decks that were predictable. It's like, oh, I lost initiative, I'm locked out, I leave. So now it's like, I will stay in and see what happens, because even if I lose the abilities, maybe I can keep it up, or they're not going to play Eliath at all, and then it's a true race. What do you
mean?
Look,
there have been plenty of games so far, because I'm still going to play with Eliath. He's still going to be one of my favorite cards in the game.
He
so
is
I am biased in this. Don't get me wrong.
The purple
and I recognize
leaders
that.
Now just got more base power.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Plenty of times I've been playing, like, in my Road to Infinite, I'll be in a position, I'm like, if they have Eliath, I lose.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, because, like, they send, like, in a deck that I expect there to be Eliath, right? Like, a Sentry, a Nihilus deck.
Oh, yeah.
And they sent, like, they have, like, two goblins on the Nexus, and I'm holding Odin. And I'm like, either this Odin is going to be insane, or they're just going to Eliath, and my Odin it's just an 8 power. So, and I've won games with Eliath so far. There was one against the Toxic Surfer list, and they did their Wong on 4, and then they did Surfer Hazmat on 5.
Oh,
and then they were setting up to play Luke Cage on 6.
Yeah.
And I sniped the Luke Cage with Eliath, and I win. Because...
I mean, anything with Wong showing up, like Eliath, when there's the telegraphed play, that is his golden opportunity.
Correct. So, and technically speaking, certain decks that he feasted on before, like Kitty Pryde Bounce, he still can in a lot of ways. I believe if you hit Kitty Pryde with Eliath, her stats go back to 1/1, correct?
Really?
That's what I'm asking. I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
I've not seen it yet. I've only seen Eliath a few times, so I haven't seen him hit Kitty. My understanding would have been that he would keep that she would keep the power, but then would stop scaling, and she would not return.
Right.
Obviously, as a final turn play, that doesn't matter. But
I don't know. We'll have to test it. But
yeah,
the big one. I do think he's still playable, just not as generically strong.
Yeah, and in different positions now. But yeah, it's a generic like. So where do you pull him in?
I still
is it just
think
the
he's...
same decks. It's pretty much the same decks that have like high tempo, and then you play Eliath. As a tech?
I think so.
Does Thanos care about him?
I don't think Thanos does anymore, because the reason you played him in Thanos was because you put so much power out where Eliath just guaranteed you the win in that lane.
How do you feel now about a Hope deck running him? Because like the Hope, either Silky Move or Bounce, because it used to be that Eliath on 5 was like, probably not what you wanted. You were still going to play Eliath on 6. But now Eliath on 5 actually seems maybe more interesting. You have to read the matchup, right? But there's positions where Eliath on 5, like getting that energy cheat and access to him earlier in the game, could be really good.
I think it's potentially something. Any deck, again, with Hope and Kitty Pryde, the ability to just go on 5, like Kitty Eliath, and then like Kitty Doom or something, is still going to be strong.
Hope especially is conspicuously like, not changed here, guys.
I am a little shocked, but
conspicuously not changed.
I'm calling it now. Next, maybe not next patch, but the patch after, at least, because we get a second patch this month, right?
Yeah, with the way the timing worked out,
right? So probably the following patch is when we would see something to change Hope.
That's interesting, because my call is it won't be in a patch. I think they'll just go OTA first and take some base power off.
They need a capper. I really do.
That's what they need to do, yes, but I don't think they will initially. I think it'll be a gradual two-stager.
The reason I say that it's going to happen sooner is because her competition, or complementary piece in a lot of cases, has now been gutted. Worth noting, before we get into it, two things. One, they said they are planning to revisit him. This is a temporary effect. They'd like to do something more with him at some point. I still like the idea we discussed, where you just bump him up to a 5 cost and then give back the minus two.
Yeah, yeah. Make it the superpower, but make him play way later. Release the balloons. Okay, so now, we're talking about Zabu.
No, hold on, hold on. The second thing, because I said there are two things to mention. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for this one. Mm-hmm. I've been saying and shouting from the rooftops for over a year now that this is the problem. This is the card that's the problem with Snap.
Oh, yes.
This has way too restrictive of a design space for four costs. Glenn even said in a question about Adam Warlock, like about the whole 5/5 thing, he's like, I actually believe the best stat line for him was probably going to be a 4/5, but we can't do that because of Zabu. He said that in an actual answer.
Then
in
it
Discord.
Would be a 3/5 on occasion, which would be insane.
Same thing with Lady Deathstrike. Can't make her a 4. We'll talk about her in a little bit too. Valkyrie as well.
Valkyrie, blah, 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 blah. It's been so warping to watch Zabu just like take all of the 4 costs. All the 4 costs, for some reason, the devs thought then had to be viable alongside Zabu.
Yep.
So he's warped the game just as much as Shang has. Now a 2/3 on reveal. Until the end of your next turn, your 4 cost guards cost 1 less. We can speculate all we want on what future changes could happen here, but they've also talked about wanting to revisit the 4 cost catalog and whether that is making cards, adding cards to the 4 cost catalog, but then also changing what is currently there.
Because it completely nerfs almost every 4 drop.
Yes, 100%.
There are some that can stand on their own.
Yeah.
Shang can, but I do think this is an impactful hit to Shang outside of Sarah Controlist, which that deck in general took a huge hit. Let's talk about the implications of what this is going to mean for like deck building. Okay.
Yep.
I'm just going to look at like what decks have Zabu in him. And this is the last 30 days. Okay.
It's interesting because he was at a low point in the meta already.
Mm-hmm.
Following some changes to 4 costs, and then just honestly Mobius coming back in a bigger way. So
lockdown, no
lockdown,
reason.
Very good.
I mean, you don't sleep on
this Mr. Negative. This Mr. Negative is like top tier competitive right now.
Oh,
not this one.
Version?
Actually, the one right here is not. I like the null one a little bit better. But
question though, when it comes to negative, do you just forego Zabu for Psylocke again, or do you just take the 2/3 over the 2/1?
That is a great question. Because so you have Renslayer as like a guarantee. You have to have that. And then what's your other way to cheat Mr. Negative? The deck is using Jubilee and Super Scroll as well.
Right. But you're hoping to hit both of those with negative.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that if your deck runs Wong, I think you want Psylocke instead.
Okay. Yeah, being able to, you know, go into Wong and then hit extra energy off of Psylocke is something that's fun too.
You just keep holding everything back and then you flood the board in wild ways.
So, first one that I think, not just this version, which this has become like the flavor of the month, I guess, for Sarah Control. Moving away from your traditional just counter everything they do to this affliction style with Hazmat, Luke Cage and stuff. And before it was about like, you know, hurting them with like Mobius and things like that. But this deck immediately takes both this version or any version of Sarah Control takes a huge hit.
Massive. Because the goal is that you're playing your 4 cost for 2 because you've set up both Zabu and Sarah. But now you just set up Sarah and then you basically don't play Zabu. Like you could play a tempo card on Zabu, but you actually don't want tempo. So you're going to have to set up something else.
How do you feel? Do you think if you just very simply, you cut Zabu, right?
Yeah.
And like, honestly, there's 4 drops in this, but I think you can still get away with running 4 drops because you can still play 2 of them on 6 potentially with Sarah, right?
Yes, you could also make just Enchantress goes to Rogue and then Zabu goes to...
I was going to say US Agent.
Yeah.
Like, why not? You just...
No, exactly. US Agent is asking why not for this list in particular. For a more flexible Sarah Control deck, Zabu just becomes Jeff or a location manipulation card.
No, I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. And then you have like the War Machine / Black Knight deck.
That deck is, the Black Knight deck is crying on the Zabu change. That's true. That makes me happy though. I didn't like this deck.
Well, this deck used to run Sarah as well as Zabu, just like the Sarah control.
Well, the War Machine version didn't, but the Black Knight Sarah was a big deal. Yes.
So, I mean, do you think losing Zabu is enough of a hit to this, to where this version can't exist anymore? Like, was Zabu really holding it all together?
I mean, the drop Blade plus Ghost Rider finale is insanely good, but I think Zabu could just be hope, honestly, in this deck. Mm-hmm. You retweak it around a different energy cheat that's better anyway. So, yeah. And, like, the deck will do okay. The power of Black Knight is still undeniable.
The Sarah Tribunal list, another one. Zabu sometimes making appearance in Loki decks.
I don't think Loki cares.
It doesn't, because you can easily pivot away from that and not care. Yeah. Cerebro 5. Rip Cerebro 5,
we're getting into the dregs here. I think...
Lockdown's an actual deck.
Yeah, but Zemo, that was even like, that's a different version to a higher one.
This version of Mill, I was running this version.
Yeah.
No magic though. I just can't.
No, I don't like the magic in it either.
Yeah, but being able to run Shang, Zorman, Iron Lad, only three of them, but still having Zabu be like, hey, sometimes you just go, you know, Baron Zorman on the last turn or whatever kind of thing.
I will say in my version, I cut Zabu already,
mm-hmm.
so my mill is fine. I was just running some different tech pieces.
So yeah, like you have, you know, a good amount of stuff where Zabu has changed and Zabu has been no longer a thing.
I think the universal thing that you then ask yourself is, can I just run Hope instead? Even like Sarah Control probably wants to run Hope instead. You could play setup Hope and then play Sarah onto the Hope lane, and then you're dealing with the discount and seven energy. That could open up even more nutty combos. Like, I think that's kind of the de facto heir to Zabu, is just because Hope is so good.
Do you think there's a chance Darkhawk can go back to a four cost now?
Oh, I hope so.
Because now Zabu really isn't a thing for that shell anymore, especially now with these at five costs, but like everything else around it, there's not really much of a reason to run it.
Yeah, I like the idea of him being a little bit cheaper, a little bit more accessible to combos than just that turn five. I was feeling pretty restrictive, but and I love the Hawk Mystique flip. That's a classic now in Snap.
Right. You can still do the Hawk into like Hawk on five and then like Mystique Rock Slide.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not.
This is, the next card is the one that I've seen the most. Hot Hip New Sandman, 5/7 on reveal. Players can only play one card next turn. Ooh, lordy, he is fun.
Right.
He's in a very different position now, rather than being like an ongoing, handcuffs that you try and put out as early as possible. You're just like, he's much higher tempo now. And there's some really interesting interactions that you can see here. One of them that really caught me out was Red Hulk. If your opponent can only play one card, often a lot harder for them to spend all their energy, and then your Red Hulk will scale a lot more easily at whatever stage you play Sandman.
Yep. He's great with Hela.
Yep, very good with Hela, very good with Nebula, obviously. So I actually really like this new flavor of, I don't even know what exactly to call it, but it's like a control deck that's running Sandman. It's not always ramp, but the other thing is that we had Zemo's Palace, so like ramp was the thing to do when Electro could just go across the board like that. I just don't like those locations in general, but when they're the hot location, then it's like, they snapped on to, well, okay, I'll just stay, I guess, or I'll leave.
He's good.
But I like New Sandman.
Yeah, I at first thought, I was like, damn, they just gutted the card. But after trying it out myself and playing with it, the only thing they've really gutted, I guess, is him in specifically the deck Sandman Ramp.
Right.
Which I think that deck, you could still run Sandman.
Yes.
And even Sandman on four can be impactful It's just the the downside is more often than not, even decks that really care about playing a bunch of stuff or like multiple cards, right? Turn five is the turn that they play their single card. MODOK and discard.
Often it is.
Sarah is another one.
Read your matchup.
Devil Dino, Darkhawk, Ronin, those cards.
Yeah.
Or Annihilus in that deck. So he's not as good on four, of course, now. But I mean, if you really wanted to, you could go Sandman on four, Observer Man on five kind of thing.
No, Sandman on five, I feel like, is the way, the de facto way to play it. And at seven power is feeling way better than before. And also, I guess 5/7 is just the favorite stat line now. Well, it's still 4/10, but the second favorite is 5/7 with this Lady Deathstrike.
Yeah, this is a an interesting one. So she goes from a 5/4 unrevealed destroy each card with less power than her to a 5/7 unrevealed destroy each card with 3 or less power. So this is two things.
Yeah.
Like at face value, it's the same card, just with a little bit more power, right?
Yes.
Because it does the same thing. Before it killed 3 and less. Now it still kills 3 and less, but has more power.
The floor is higher because the base power just went up.
On top of which, now they have two ways to, like, two knobs to adjust these damn balloons to, like, figure out what they want to do with this card.
Yes.
So before, the knob was her power. And a 5/5 might be way too good or
changed,
whatever.
Like, way too much, yeah.
Right. But now they could actually increase the power and stuff that she kills and actually can sacrifice her own power and get under the threshold. You can go in the inverse. You can now have a card that could be like a 5/2 that kills all fives or less.
Right.
If they ever feel that's the direction they want to go into, I'm sure they still stand by their original statements around this type of effect where they're like, we're wary of it. We don't want it to be overly oppressive or like in the game too much. So I don't think they'll ever go in that direction necessarily, but they have the option though. That's the great thing about it.
Exactly. Or if you see some pivotal cards get buffed, like, hey, Dracula's base power goes up, they're like, all right, this was always intended to be a counter, so make sure that we balance in accordance to it. I like this change overall. I don't know if Lady Deathstrike can make a destroy deck until a lot of other things get nerfed. Similar to Sabretooth, she's just edged out in so many different positions right now. Also, another thing that we didn't quite point out explicitly is that it takes away the power fantasy of being able to buff her to get a stronger effect.
Right.
So those decks never really materialized as being good, but I mean, whatever changes to those hand buff type cards comes along, and even a data mine card that we see just at the end of this episode, those are not going to be able to improve her destructive power.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you lose like the fun version of the deck, but
that it never materialized. Yeah. We tried. Even with Forge at a one cost, it wasn't happening.
So. Well, because like you'd forge and like you weren't able to forge her and still get the doubling on Shuri. You had to do like one or the other, or go like Nakia into Shuri into her. And even then she was a 5/10 in those instances. You would have to luck out, go your Hyrule was Okoye on two. Hit her in the deck, draw her immediately the next turn, and then play Nakia, buff her again to 6 in your hand, and then now she's a 12. But you're doing all this work to get a 12 for Shuri, Zola it, and kill everything 12 or less. Great. But if they have anything in any other lane that's 12 or more, you still lose the game.
Exactly. That's the problem, is you spent your entire combo, all your effort into this that will still lose to a card that is more than 10 or 12 power.
Right.
And it's like, well, I can't. That is not a winning game plan, but it is very funny. And unfortunately, it's gone. So I hope you got your clips while you had the chance. I still recommend against Lady Deathstrike in your destroy. But if you have her, maybe try her out.
Yeah, I'm going to be testing her out probably a little bit tomorrow. I'm intrigued by her in some ways. We'll see how she is. I'm curious if the 5/7 is enough of a tempo to where you're like, we see them play Dracula in 4. I can kill the Dracula and have a 6-point swing here. There's still a lot of stuff that she can kill. So
the key is that she kills X23. That's the whole thing. Is like, as long as you're killing X23 on 5 as a destroy deck, you are okay. That will scare opponents. And if you get that little bit of opponent, you know, pokey poke, which Destroy doesn't normally have outside of Killmonger, That's great. But if Killmonger's doing enough for you, then just stick with Killmonger and run your other tempo cards.
Yeah. But I'm interested in her outside of Destroy, so we'll see.
Yeah. I'm very interested in this strong guy, actually. This card, just because the APOC got hit, has like lost its heyday, but it is still a very good deck. Mean, lean, and now it has another fighting machine. At 3/3, it gets that +6 power if your hand has one or fewer cards. So now, if you have thinned down to just the APOC that the Dracula is going to consume, Strong Guy still activates. That is the huge win. And then his power is larger than Dakin. So, sorry, Dakin. Is there just a better tempo 3 drop for discard?
I was trying to run both. So I would have 3/3 drops in Dakin, this guy, and Lady Sif.
Nice.
And it was...
You were running Lady Sif too? Man, I've cut so many of those cards from my version.
Yeah. I wonder if I can even... If it's even going to show up. Because I don't think I played it on...
not recently enough.
On PC.
I think.
I think I just played it on my phone. Yeah, so this was... also, by the way, you want to know why I'm 0-3 minus 4 cubes with this list here?
Why are you 0-3 minus 4 cubes on this list, Brad?
Because immediately after the update happened, every time I got into a game, my game crashed. All of these are just disconnects.
It's excuses. You are a bad destroy player.
Correct. I like him.
Yeah, I do too.
You run into some weird awkwardness on occasion. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you... He almost incentivizes playing MODOK on 6 instead of 5 in some ways to really get the most value of like all your cards and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you top decks Swarm, you're very sad.
That's what has always been interesting is the strategy around playing Swarm in that deck, because there's so many moments where Swarm is actually bad for you.
Right.
It makes me wonder if like there could be a better version that just doesn't run Swarm somehow.
Yeah, I'm wondering that as well. But
like, can I just run Wolverine instead? That way I catch the one, but then he's gone and he's free and he's 4 power. So, you know, like think about it. Like Swarm gets hit once, it becomes a free 6 power in 2 bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine gets hit once, he becomes a free 4 power. I don't control where he plays, and obviously Swarm has the potential to multiply. But then you're taking up so much board space, even multiplying Swarm can be a problem. Then there's also times where Swarm will cap your hand in the very extreme cases, so I don't get draw, which I want. It's very interesting to think about, and I might actually be moving over to Wolverine for a little bit.
Yeah, if you just change out Swarm for Wolverine, it makes Strong Guy a bit better.
Also doesn't get caught out by Mobius. When they play Mobius after I've got my Swarm going and they're just laughing at me and the emotes are popping, man, that makes me mad.
Yeah, sometimes they get you. But we're not seeing a whole lot of Mobius at the moment. Weird how the meta ebbs and flows. Like that's what we said a few weeks ago. I said that I think that Mobius is going to be... Actually, no, I said this like a month or two ago. God, time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
That Mobius is going to be like this card that like, are people playing a lot of Sarah and like Zabu or whatever the next Zabu card
is? It was Zabu. Yeah, it was very fluid as a response.
Yeah.
Also, the Thanos deck that was everywhere and playing Mockingbird. And like,
correct.
It's also what, if you're playing a combo deck, you might not be able to fit him in. But if you're playing a deck like Thanos with the luxury to fit him in, you probably do just because you like having him around. So. Yeah.
Is Strong Guy playable now, though?
100%.
Look at that.
Drac Dump loves him, and Discard loves him. It's just that those are like mid-meta tier decks right
Zookula
now.
Zookula as well. I like him in that, too. Because I liked him in that before.
That's what I said, Drac Dump.
Oh, that's called Zookula, though.
This is... What?
Zookula is the proper name.
Isn't it called Machine Dump now? You run War Machine in it?
I guess. I don't know. All right, well, that's the update. And overall, I think it's a fine patch. Some hits, some, like, I wouldn't say there's really any misses.
Yeah.
It's just a little, like, I don't know what I expected. I feel like the Zabu change is huge, but I've been wanting it for so long that it doesn't even feel like a satisfying of, like, oh, finally. It's more just like, yeah.
Like, well, it... coincidental, like seemingly coincidentally released at a time where he's at his one of his lowest points in the meta ever. Which I know they plan these changes so far in advance, like they don't know exactly the ramifications of these other changes and other new cards releasing. So I do think it is coincidental that it could have easily been like a good cards meta and Zabu was on top. But yeah, him going down is wild. The Lady Deathstrike probably still never sees play. Sandman's going to be very niche. The Eliath, like, wasn't seeing too much play, still won't. And then the Strong Guy is interesting, but again, like, mid-meta decks.
Eliath, according to Untap, had a 22% scene percentage.
Wow. People are playing that a lot more than I see.
Right, it's your pocket.
And that's what's interesting. Also, the different meta pockets, right? There could be things that I'm reacting to from opponents that I play that are got their heads so stuck on Phoenix Force that I'm not seeing some of these other guys.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll still play a life. Happy to see Zabu change. Sandman's still cool. Deathstrike.
Can we see the current iteration of Purple People Leaders, or are we waiting for the next stream to build that one?
I'd have to put it together.
Okay. If we have time at the end, we will throw it up. Otherwise, we'll wait.
Sure. Okay. So next, we have the spotlight fiasco of U.S. Agent. Now,
U.S. Agent.
I just got U.S. Agent 20 minutes ago when they announced the fixes and stuff like that.
I did my full play test on
20 minutes, 20 minutes before the stream, I should say.
Yep. I have played him a lot.
So I have no opinions of him.
Gotcha. So, my opinion is, and I shared it at the very beginning, I'm glad I got my key refunded. He is totally fine, just not super interesting. I played him primarily in two different decks. I had him in a Toxic Sera deck, and I had him in a Toxic Junk deck. Both decks did very well. I made it to Gold 3 in Conquest with each one. I lost that matchup with the Toxic Sera deck, and I won that matchup with the Toxic Junk deck. Now, obviously, that is very matchup dependent, and even just, you know, my own like skill difference and focus in playing the cards. He hits pretty hard. That minus three to cards, especially if you have some way to make sure he's getting a tag, is amazing. And that's what the Junk deck really does, because I'm playing Junk that has the Sentry Annihilus, and I have the Goblins. I know Hobgoblin is getting the tag, and I know that the Void is going across. So I can play U.S. Agent on curve on that rightmost lane where I know I can follow up later, which I think is a big advantage to trying to hold him to be responsive to the opponent. Of course, he's cheap enough. He's fine to hold. You just need other things to play at the tempo pace. So that's kind of been my experience.
I think he's cool on paper. I'm excited to use him. I'll use him more tomorrow. But the big thing that happened was the whole issue of the glitch with the spotlight caches seemingly not working. Pretty much, you should know by now if you're watching this, but
wild.
Basically, something happened to where it looked at what happened the previous week for your spotlights and then incorrectly combined that with your next one. And what that means is, if you opened a card of the previous week in two keys, then it's going to look at the U.S. Agent release and basically gray out two things essentially for you. Of like the rest of the threshold of that first four. And then you'll open two keys and then immediately it'll go to the next step, which is your variants and stuff without actually unlocking Agent. Now, if you spent seven keys, then you would have eventually got a seven, I think, is the max. Maybe eight's the max, but seven or eight is the max. But you would get U.S. Agent guaranteed at that point.
Yeah.
Once you finish both rolls of like, here's all these and here's all the variants.
I spent five to get him with the way it worked. And it was actually super funny because it had like a visual glitch at the moment as well. And so after I'd opened three, so I knew that I was supposed to be guaranteed U.S. Agent, it just showed like a blank slate.
That's what I
as
had
it
too.
Was doing the rollover. And so then I did like a little bit. It's like, oh, haha, you got everything good. You got the two variants and a cash and like tokens. There's nothing else for you to get because the joke is U.S. Agent is not is a pass card. And so we like laughed with chat, and then I clicked it and I got just a a random premium mystery variant, and I was
What was your mystery variant?
I think it was, it's actually one that I am using. It was like a Dan Hip something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I got Jeff first, then I got the random card for in tokens, which was Kang, was my random dupe, and I
got Thanos, big bads.
Like, isn't that great that we both rolled, we high rolled the 33% chance of getting a Series 5 card, but then we didn't high roll the 1 in 38 to get US Agent off rip. Yeah. But then the third one was Sports Variant Mojo.
Oh, I have that.
And I was just like, what is this?
Yeah.
Why did I get this as my third thing? Before I even got Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, what is going on?
Maybe a mystery variant, man.
But good news, everybody. This has a happy ending. They identified the issue, for the most part, I guess. I saw some people, like one or two people say that they still have the glitch at the moment. I don't know if that's, like, their game hasn't necessarily updated yet, or they don't have, like, the OTA hotfix or whatever.
Or if it's only visual, and, like, if they actually open something, it would be right.
Yeah. If you open for US Agent and you didn't get them and you spend like the four keys or whatever, or if you basically you get all your keys back. I got my keys back. I checked.
Full refund.
I got my full refund. That's nice. US Agent. So it has a happy ending.
Bride.
They're also going to give everyone 500 gold. That's coming at a later date.
That's nice. That way, like, you know, the people who saw the warnings of like things are bugged and didn't want to go in feel like they get something, because in this regard, like the best thing to do would have been to spend all your keys to get as many things as possible because they're all going to be refunded.
But here's the thing. I've seen some people, like, and other content creators as well. I've seen some content creators say that they've had people like yell at them for saying, like, giving the advice of like, hey, don't spend your keys while it's bugged.
And
when I tweeted out saying, hey, don't spend your keys, it's bugged, some people replied, but you should spend your keys because they'll eventually compensate and they'll probably get your keys back. And I'm like, you don't know that for sure.
No, you don't.
So proceed with caution.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to do it that way, I would advise not to do it. And if you are the kind of person, by the way, who will come into a content creator's mentions that said, don't spend your keys, and then yell at them for giving that advice and give them shit about it, wholeheartedly, go fuck yourself.
You could have just not taken the advice to begin with. You're just like, yeah, that's crazy.
Right. It's like, if you wanted to do it, you could have done it. Like, you could have taken the risk. As a content creator that has some amount of following, would rather just give the easy advice of like, I'd recommend not doing with it. Do what you want, but I wouldn't.
Yes.
And if you get the double dip benefits from it, good for you. But also, I don't want people to come back at me and be like, he said to double dip, and they ended up being like, you get gold equal to the amount of keys nothing. You lost. Yeah, right?
You
like, that could have happened.
It's the Willy Wonka scene. You get nothing. Also, we do, as content creators, have access to some early news from the developers. They did not give us any early news as to what the compensation was going to be. They only post that we saw during the event happening, and even I didn't even realize what the compensation was going to be because they didn't post it for us. It was just that they were investigating. So we did not have any information to be able to make. We didn't have insider trading information to give you. We're just giving you our opinion.
It's funny you mentioned early access and stuff. There was a little bit of a blowback in the creator program because the patch was delayed. Usually we get that information early, right?
Right.
And we did not, being Teddy and myself, and pretty much every other content creator, except for one person. One special noodle content creator got that heads up, and they were able to put a video out right alongside the new patch that dropped randomly on Wednesday that no one else knew about. So I won't name who it is. You can probably figure it out. But
which then early traffic promotes their video over everybody else's is like significant in the YouTube game.
And you could be like, well, how do you know for sure? It's like when you look at the production quality of their video, you can immediately tell they got it early. So yeah, that's a little upsetting. Some content creators are a little annoyed by that. And you might be thinking, well, I don't get anything. I'm not a content creator. You're already privileged. Correct. We are. But the whole reason that content
creators, I'm doing my taxes right now, Brad, I don't feel that privileged.
Right. The whole reason we get, like, the whole point of that extra 24 or 48 hours of a notice for things in, like, early, is not for us to be like, oh, we get to test the cards and give feedback on them. No, it's nothing like that.
Right.
It's just, here you go.
So we can make better content.
You can make a video now. That's going to be a walking advertisement for our game anyway. So it goes right back to Second Dinner regardless. So
yeah. But I mean, the whole point is, like, them supporting us to be able to have a better experience for you guys, the super fans.
But unfortunately, some people are held in higher regards than others, which is how life works, but it doesn't make it any less frustrating. But anyway, on to happier things. Spotlights ended on a nice, happy note. And then we got the wonderful, amazing, most wonderful time of the year, Data Mines for new cards.
This actually is, like, absolutely one of my favorite things.
Right. So let's go ahead and pop open a link in a new tab.
What do you want to do first?
Link in a new tab. Oh, we're going to do an order, baby.
Okay.
We have, so it's interesting. We got,
I think I have that,
the June cards, right? But then we also got a single July card, which is really funny, which is the one that's like, have you seen these yet, Teddy?
The data mines? Yes.
Okay. Well, let's start in order.
You're saying, is it just the way the seasons break down, or is he actually in another season?
According to the data mines, it suggested that he's in July. Because these are four cards.
But he's definitely in Eternals. Okay, we should stop beating around the bush and just go into Thena here. All right, Thena. 2-1 after each turn, plus 3 power if you played exactly 2 cards. Super fun. Now, this is a passive. Not ongoing, not on reveal. Set her up early, then play your 2 cards and scale her like crazy. Yeah,
Blink is this. I double check. Because Blink is your season pass. So... that's still season pass. Yeah. Hold on. Blink is the season pass.
Why is Blink in the Eternals?
Or wait, no, is she the May? No, wait, hold this on.
It feels weird, man.
Wait. No, Gilgamesh is the season pass. I apologize.
Yeah. Oh, so she's going to series 5. Yeah. She was from the previous season going to series 5. Gilgamesh is our battle pass.
Let's start with Gilgamesh.
Okay. 5-2 on reveal, plus 2 power for each of your other cards in play with increased power. Now, our understanding is this would include cards receiving a buff from an ongoing engine, a la Blue Marvel.
Which would make him insane.
The Blue Marvel on an entire board into a Gilgamesh pop-off. Let's go.
Right. Or like Khazar and like Zoo, even.
Yeah, just Khazar and Zoo is like totally fine again for Gilgamesh on curve pop off. And then you have the on reveal synergies. You can go abs, man, right off this. And then you have a board with like a high base power with the Khazar and the efficiency of 1 costs and then 2 towers. Heck, you could play abs, man, plus armor so they can't get you back on the Gilgamesh who is then vulnerable.
Yeah, this feels like it's too good at the moment.
Well, let's think about it. Like, how many cards do I have to buff for him to really be there, right? I kind of want a 5-10, so I need 8 buffed cards. That's a lot. It's doable, but it is a lot.
Well, no, you don't need 8. You need 4.
It's plus 2. You're right. I only need 4. Okay, he seems like he might be too good.
Right. Like, okay, I'll put it this way. A squirrel girl
Gets
him
6.
To 8.
Yeah, that's nice. And then anything on top of
that. Assuming you have a Blue Marvel effect or a Khazar, right? But we're keeping that in mind as an assumption.
Or, I mean, even Patriot plus. So you could do the Squirrel Girl,
right.
Mysterio, Patriot, boom, Gilgamesh, Abs Man, lights out.
It's huge.
And then with that scenario specifically, Mockingbird is free on top of all of this.
Question. Because he has a 5-2.
Yeah.
If you flip that around, he's a 2/5. Okay.
Oh no.
On negative. Don't say it. If you have cards in play for Mr. Negative, like a 0/3, a 0/5, or whatever, because they were flipped, that
counts.
Yeah,
they're all better. They're all buffed.
That counts as buffed cards, right?
Yes,
increased power.
Does. Yeah, it's green.
So he's insane in negative then.
He would be. I think he would be better than Black Panther. I do.
Right. Oh, yeah. Even as he currently stands, you could probably make him like a Black Panther, so to speak.
Kind of build around, yeah.
Yeah, and then just like arms all of this.
Right. Ew. So he works if you go kind of all in and you get the stars to align, but he's also pretty good in like any of those deck shells we're talking about where you're just like, oh, I need a lot of points just right here to go over the top of what they've done. So then you got it.
He might need to be a 6 cost.
Ooh, but then it blocks all of my Abs Man shenanigans that I just talked to you about.
Correct. Sorry. Nerfing it already, buddy. But I think as a 5 cost, he's a bit too good. Because now, because
wow.
I think
takes...
like zoloing him is really strong.
Yes.
Like very nice. The Abs Man stuff. He just seems really, really strong as a 5/2.
I like to
see him be a 6 cost. But we'll see.
No. Bring it on.
All right. Now the first card of the month.
Thena. Like we said, 2/1 after each turn, +3 power if you played exactly 2 cards. So let's talk about the ceiling first. I guess that's most interesting. You play her on tempo. 213. There you go. That's a very high value 2 cost. Now, this floor is you never trigger, so it's only 1. That's terrible, obviously. But if you just trigger it once, it's a 2/4. That's like,
she
okay.
Should count herself, right? Let's say you top deck her at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And you just play a 4 cost in her on turn 6. She's sure. A 2/4.
2/4?
Right? She yep. Should count herself. In that instance.
I believe so.
Because you played exactly 2 cards.
That's an interesting thing sometimes on if cards have memory of what happens on the turn, like before they are revealed. It gets a little foggy with, I think, some situations. But my understanding would be she would count herself on the turn she's played.
So, that's not terrible. I mean, 2/4
it
is
also
above 8.
Means you don't have to worry about getting her on 2 if you get her on 3 with like her plus Kitty, right?
Right.
You go her plus
like
Kitty, and then
Angela
you go Hope plus
two.
Kitty, and then you go blah, 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 and on with Kitty right. Plus everything. I like it.
Yeah, I think she's going to be a complement to the Kitty package with Angela and like Elsa and stuff like that, rather than being a competition of them. And probably is going to be nice and silky smooth in some capacity as well,
oh,
just 100%. Because it's easy to weave in stuff and out. Yeah, I think
she
she's going to
better
be
Angela. Like she could obviously in these decks play alongside Angela.
I don't think
but
she's better Angela.
You don't have to play to the Angela lane. She can be anywhere.
Right. No, I agree. But Angela can also hit the 210 mark way easier now with
yep.
Things like Kitty and stuff like that, and the Silky Smooth deck.
I'm already looking at these kind of cards as like you want to keep it under 10.
You do. But if you have both these cards and you're able to drop her on turn 2 or whatever, and then go like Angela, Kitty, and then Kitty, Elsa, and just keep going like, you know, you're exactly 2. If I get my Angela to a 2/12 and I get her to a like a 2/11 in different lanes,
good
I'm
night.
Just going to be like, look, you can't Shang-Chi them both.
No.
Now, you could Shang-Chi one and Shadow King the other, but we don't want
to. Maybe a good reason to play Shadow King. I'm also happy to see that. So.
Right. Okay, moving on. Also, do you want to give us a star rating? Do you want to try doing that? Do you want to try giving
ooh,
us
no,
some?
We do tier lists here, Brad. Get
you're
the
right.
Stars out of here.
I'm
tier
so
list
sorry.
It. So is Gilgamesh straight up A tier? Like Theorycraft A tier?
Immediately A tier, yes.
Immediately A tier, worried about S.
Correct. Correct.
Thena?
I would agree with that.
Thena is straight A tier too. Probably not
I
too
would,
worried about her immediately, but I'd go A.
I would say low A, top of B.
Okay.
Is where I'm feeling.
Because Silky Move is already so good and she plays in that. So like that's how I'm reading it as
and
pushing.
And there's
her
the
up.
Occasional awkwardness of like I don't have 2 cards to play right now, or I have
oh, yeah.
more than 2 and stuff like that. But like it's an embarrassment of riches kind of problem rather than she's bad. So, but you have to take that into consideration. But yeah, I would say low A, high B.
Okay.
Next, we have Cersei, which is a really interesting card. 5/7 again, that's stat line, baby. On reveal, transform your other cards here into random cards that cost one more.
My gosh.
So she's this, like a pseudo Okay, so
remember
Loki.
How we were all like freaking out on like, well, why are they releasing Pixie? What is this crazy randomness coming into our game? And then Pixie was totally fine. This is actually like the, oh my gosh, what are they doing?
This is an interesting one. Okay, I'm going to immediately say this is a C tier card.
Yes.
Because you can have some awful things occur. So like, let's say you play her on a filled lane and you have like a 1, a 2, and a 3 or a 2, 3, and a 4. Right.
Right.
Your 3 is a Venom or your 4 is, I can't even think of a bad.
The 4 is actually a good one. Like the 4s yeah, don't the fours normally hurt you, but a Tuma would immediately kill himself.
Right. Or if you like Professor X, and like that could be awkward at times if you get that. Like, look, you can high roll. This is like essentially, what's the one location that like replaces the card, transforms it to the same cost,
but it's a better one.
Yeah, it's a better version of that.
It's Tantive 4, Tantive 6, something like that.
But you still have a
or Tanthrax, whatever.
You have high rolls, you have low rolls. Like, if you play this on like a 5 cost. And you get Ultron, probably sad.
That's actually what I'm thinking of is like, I immediately was like, okay, the Grail, like this was just my first instinct, is the Grail is getting 6 costs, right? And then I thought about it, it's like, no, not really, because how many times when you play on the raft, you get something that you can't even use being free?
Right.
You probably, I think the true theory crafters are going to find another price point that's more valuable. And what I maybe am even thinking of is like, a surfer deck that plays 2 costs and you change all the 2 costs to random 3 costs and then you go from there. Like, I don't know. It's kind of fun to think about because on turn 4, I could play 2 costs and instead of playing Sarah, I'm going to play Cersei. I don't know. Or you just take advantage of like the value of the 4s. Sure. And if you've played a couple 3, like if you play Brood, right? Then suddenly you get 3 4s instead of these random, these low power 3 costs.
You could fill a lane, go a 1, a 2, a 3, and then play like in the left lane and then go Miss Marvel mid and then Cersei that. And then you can still get Miss Marvel hits.
You would still get the Miss Marvel hit. No. Yeah, you would. I'm actually really on this Brood train. Like Brood.
Oh,
and
wait,
Mistress
no, you wouldn't because you'll have 2 5s. No, no, you don't have Miss Marvel. Never mind.
Miss Marvel is the 4. Yeah. Brood and Mr. Sinister look way better if they're creating, you know, Brood is 3 random 4s instead of the couple 3s.
And that's cool.
They all will discount Mockingbird, too.
True. Very true. Look, there are some cool things with her, and I think she can be a fun card. I just am going to be hard-pressed to ever think she's going to be a good card.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many cases where it's going to bite you, but that's where what we talked about at the beginning of, hey, you could just retreat. But it's one like you want
better than
the card
Pixie
to...
though, better card oh, than better. Pixie.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Because like, here's the thing, Pixie on 2, so we're gonna draw that 6 cost that might be a 1 cost in your deck somewhere.
Pixie did not quite pan out the way I was afraid she would. So I'm happy.
I'm gonna pat myself on the back yet again because I called her being a garbage card. Fun, but bad. Next. We have another
this is the one
cool card.
I don't think can release with this stat line. We saw 2 cards get updated from 0/0s into 3/3s, and I think this is still a placeholder stat line.
Okay.
I guess this one, Makari specifically, was a 0/1 for a very long time. And we actually said it couldn't release as it, or if it did, it would be bad in the 0/1.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a 3/3 with the power after the turn. Runs from your hand to a random location if possible. That's like too good. Getting a free 3 power.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, does she become a staple in every deck with this stat line?
Right.
I don't know. Like, because like on one hand, I'm like, free card is free card.
Yep.
But on the other hand, it's a 3/3.
I think it does, especially with some of the cards that are like just good enough to play that are card generators. Like you can just run Mirage or Cable to make sure that you're still getting replenishment to hand to give you options, and then you run your Makari to get the free power. And then, in the decks that run strong guy, you're super happy because you're thinning automatically.
So yeah, she does help strong guy. I will acknowledge that. It's a random location, which that can be awkward at times. I know there are plenty of times where, like, you know, squirrels from Central Park or like Savage Land or whatever, and you're really trying to avoid those, and like she'll jump to that. Or if you're playing, if you want to play like in Surfer, for example, you might be running Brood, which they don't even run Brood. Well, no, they do. Sorry, what's the other one? What is the one they cut? Doesn't matter. Anyway, you might have a Brood lane, and then she jumps into the Brood lane, and you're kind of like, I would have liked to put something else there, but it's not the end of the world, I guess. So I could see her presenting a little bit of awkwardness on occasion. I don't know. I can see both sides of where... Here's the thing. She's either going to be in every single deck and it's just mathematically incorrect to not run her, or she's going to just end up being not very good.
With this ability, that's unfortunately what I see as well. And I think this stat line is the I'm in every deck. So I think she's going to get changed. Now, because the ability has had a through line here, while the power did get updated, I think the developers are going to try and bring her in with this ability. And then I think she's going to be bad. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm guaranteeing a further change to this. And we'll be talking about her again in the future. I'm also guaranteeing a change on Thestos. Also 3/3, which feels to me like a placeholder right now. On reveal, give each card in your deck -1 cost or +2 power. I love the effect. I just don't think the stat line is quite here to match. Like, the 3 power is too much. If you want him coming in early as a 3 cost, which you do with this kind of effect to get it on multiple cards you're going to draw, I think he needs to have less power on his body. But maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, again, we see a 3 cost. This one actually goes in Surfer if it's a 3 cost.
Because 100%.
You either make your you can make your all your stuff even cheaper.
All your stuff becomes gods.
You buff them. Like,
Surfer loves both effects. Every deck loves both effects, but especially Surfer with stuff that has the
Sebastian
Brood in
Shaw.
There loves both. Yeah, Sebastian Shaw would get the multiplicative effect. And we got to remember the one that buffs. What is he? Help me. The one who buffs based on buffed cards.
The captain. The one we were just talking about, Gilgamesh?
Yep. Gilgamesh, thank you. Gilgamesh loves Thestos.
Yeah. So I agree. But honestly, I don't think it's too far off. I think this is a 3/1 is releasable.
Yes. No, I'm with you there.
Obscenely strong? I do think so. Must buy at a 3 cost.
Yeah. No, the power is like a must buy at a 3 cost, because if you think about it, the other cards that do anything similar, Pixie, Mr. Negative, require unique deck building and build around effects. Like Pixie, you have to have Mobius. I guess some people disagree right now. Mr. Negative is a huge deck building like puzzle to get it to work. Thestos is just in anything.
Right. He looks really strong. I think especially if he's a 3 cost, it's at Surfer. I could see a world where this is like a 2/1. I could see it.
Wow. Get him in so early. That's like, I mean, so here's the thing. Mobius does stop all of the negative cost. And then you do have Shadow King that can bring the buffs on the cards back down. But the +2 power scares me a lot, because that's what old Nikia did. And old Nikia, or sorry,
Okoye.
Old Okoye did just the +2 to everything, and she was too good.
Well, here's the thing. I think the way that, in that case, then I do think that 3 is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
But
because that was the thing. Okoye came out so early.
Right.
That it was like, who got her?
She
and who
just
didn't.
Straight up gave everything +2. Not to give any knock to the -1. That's still very strong. But like, you don't know which one you're going to get. Right.
Yep.
And there are going to be cards in your deck that have a clear, far and away.
Oh my gosh. It's not a minimum of 1. Thanos goes insane. Brad.
Sure.
Help.
Yeah. He can go in Thanos. Sure. Of course he can go in Thanos.
Anything can.
Thanos has not seen way as much play lately, but people still like the deck.
Yeah, it's still capable.
So yeah,
let's talk about the next really Thanos, maybe the heir
Dude,
to Thanos.
Okay, I don't think I've ever been as excited for a card.
Since High Evo?
This surpasses High Evo for me.
Wow.
High Evo is Arisham. Really cool.
How do you say it?
I'm pretty sure it's Arisham.
I got it on the first try. Thank goodness. 7/7. This is the first 7-cost card to release.
Only the second. Only the second card to be over 6 power. Or 6 cost, sorry.
Exactly. And the first to be a 7. So he's a 7/7. At the start of the game, +1 max energy. Oh, lordy, that's guaranteed. It happens every single time, Brad. Shuffle 12 random cards into your deck. He does not automatically hop into your hand. Thank goodness. You do not want to play him. You want to play all this other random junk at high efficiency because of your extra energy.
So I was thinking about this card.
Yes.
When I first saw it, I was trying to think of like what you do with it.
You play him with Thanos to have the biggest, baddest deck Marvel Snap has 30 ever cards, seen.
30 cards. 30
the,
card
the
deck.
The effects overlay themselves, and he's like, he does the stones
in. You know what? Just throw Haivo in there too. Why not?
Yes.
But worth noting, keeping in mind, it says shuffle 12 random cards into your deck. That is not replacing. It's not district decks.
No,
it is,
you have a 24-card deck to then draw from.
So this is what I would do.
So at the start of the game, this is before your opening draw, right?
Yeah. Yes. So you could draw a random card.
So you could draw some of the random ones to begin with. Wow.
So this is what I would do. Immediately, your brain probably goes, look at the +1. You think of like ramp, right?
Well, yes, but also like Quinjet Mockingbird.
Yep. So this is what I would do. You run Quinjet, you run Mockingbird, you run Loki, because sometimes you'll just have a hand of like bad stuff and you're like, I'll just get rid of those.
100%.
You run Wave to ramp into your random 6-cost you might get as well. You run you could do Electro. I don't know if you want to. You could also do Corvus, throw in Hela in there just for funsies.
Yeah, so Corvus will give you the additional +1 max energy.
Yep.
Electro is throttling you. I don't like the Electro personally because you don't know the cost of these random things.
That's why I said you could. And then you just do your generic, like, I think you do like a handful of like 5 and 6 costs in your deck. And then just like have Loki as like your backup plan, like Mockingbird and stuff.
Yep.
Is this card going to be competitive? It's hard to say. I think no. Off
the
of first
consistency on draw is so important for competitive snap.
Sure, but at the end of the day,
it's +1 max.
It's
energy.
+1 max energy, and the games in which you have, like, when you high roll and you just have Quinjet, and you're like, oh my god, this is insane.
Yeah,
but it's almost like you already have Quinjet. This is like a build
your
own
plus
Quinjet.
One max. Exactly. I mean, this is, you can play ramp without Wave or Electro because you're guaranteed ramp. You know how many times you're playing ramp and you don't get those pieces and then you're just sad? That will never happen again with this guy. You get it from turn one.
Let me ask you this then. Do you think you could just slot this into a Loki deck and just have Arisham Loki?
Pretty much. That looks like the shell for it. And then it's a question on, is the additional energy an effective balance to the random cards and the inconsistency? Because you're not going to find Loki nearly as much.
No.
You're not going to find Mockingbird or Quinjet nearly as often. And so it's finding, is the plan B of random cards good enough for you? Sometimes that random card will be a Loki or a Quinjet. Frankly, with 12 random cards, it could be 2 Quinjets. Can they duplicate?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
have you ever gotten like a multiple copies of a card from like Triskelion?
Very rarely, but I think I have.
The most I've ever gotten in a single Triskelion was 4 copies of Thanos.
That's insane.
It was specifically Thanos.
I've never seen that, but I have gotten duplicates.
I saw someone on Reddit. They posted the clip of it, and they got, I think, a full like 6 or 7 almost from Trisk, and they were all the same exact card. And they're like, hey, what are the odds of this happening? And someone did the math. They're like, it's pretty much impossible.
You're the only person to have ever seen this.
Correct.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Your sacrifice will not go in vain.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, look, random cards can just be good sometimes.
They can also be really bad.
You could also go on the route of just playing this and then just guaranteed good stuff cards.
Exactly, because you have just extra energy to do it. I wonder how much, like, yeah, you care about draw or card. Because that's the other thing, is everything could be card generation. That's the Loki shell, right? So in between all the random junk is you're also just getting stuff that will get... Like, Coulson is nice, suddenly, because you could play Coulson on two and just ramp off of Coulson because you know you get guaranteed plays ahead of tempo.
Okay, I have to ask.
Yep.
Is it ever correct, actually, not even memeing, because we talk about Thanos... Do you ever actually run Thanos just for the stones to draw?
100%. Yes, I'm doing the Arisham Thanos. I will die to Hawk, but I will.
Seems really good. Dark Hawk's back, baby.
And then I'm going to play Fastos, and everything's cheaper or more powerful.
It could generate two of them.
Could you imagine old Blob with this combo?
Oh, I think Blob's also a guaranteed card in this deck because even with the cap.
Old Blob. He's 100 and something.
I'm telling you
power.
This right now. You could drop Blob on turn 6 or 7 and you still have like 15 cards in your
deck. You could drop Blob on turn 5.
No. Okay. I'm saying like I'm putting us to the end game.
Okay.
Because of less cards in your deck, right? That's the reason I'm saying this.
Yeah,
you could do that. You could hit Green Goblin, Hobgoblin as your first two,
no idea.
And
maybe.
He'll still get to 15.
Yeah, he will.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
So yeah, you have to run Blob in this guy's deck.
I think that is a requirement.
So like,
very happy.
I think Quinjet's a requirement because you can't resist it. You just can't. Why not? Quinjet on one in an Arsham deck. Starting out with two energy
snap.
Off rip, and then you have
that's
it.
Snap.
That's crazy.
That's old Thanos Yellowstone snap. Yeah,
man, I cannot wait for this card. I wish it's weird because like it's listed as July, according to snap.fan and the data mines.
All that being said, B tier.
For like competitiveness.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably C tier.
Oh no. You're actually not loving this.
Oh, it's an S tier in my heart though.
So we didn't do Fastos. Awesome. We just talked about how Makari and Fastos we thought are not gonna release with these stat lines.
A-tier.
I think Fastos is like S at 3-3.
At 3-3, close to S.
Yeah. It's like very theory crafting. We haven't played the card, but I put it at S.
I would say A. I'm gonna be a bit more cautious with giving S's.
And I said I like Makari. I think Makari would be A at 3-3.
I think at a 3-3, I think she's either C tier or S tier. I really think it's like, and I can't evaluate it. I can't.
I have to see
it in like functionality at a 3-3. Because again, I'm telling you, I could see it just ends up being of like mathematically, you have to run her, or it just turns out it's like it's not worth it. It's just a card slot you wish was something else.
Yeah. So this is like the season looks like pass on Cersei and then reevaluate Makari and Fastos if they get changed. Must get Arisham.
Oh, this is Arisham is the July season, apparently.
Okay. Well, from the data mine, I'd still be looking ahead at must getting him.
Yeah.
Probably really want Thena too.
Yeah, must get leading the pack, must get season pass.
Right.
If you play Silky Smooth or like that style of deck or Kitty Pryde Angela stuff, probably should get Thena.
Yep.
Easily passable, but it's probably a fun card, though I doubt being very good. Give it a month.
Yep.
Like, I mean, let's go back, I guess, and look at the spotlights real quick. So spotlights for Thena, again, these are not confirmed, so but the best way we can know it's Thena, Gladiator, Grandmaster. Actually a pretty good week.
Gladiator is great, Thena's great, Grandmaster is meh,
but Grandmaster, I still stand by this, eventually he
what
will
you
be
want?
Really yeah. good. And then this week is Meek, Phoenix Force, Cersei. I think this is mostly a pass. If you don't have Meek, I'll put it this way. Even if you don't have Meek, I would not spend a spotlight cash on him. He's 3,000 tokens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Series 4. Is Phoenix Force? Phoenix Force is at 5,
still
right?
5, right? Because that's a
Phoenix
season
Force
pass
very
card.
Good, in my opinion.
Right. But I don't think it's a very good climbing deck. I think it's a good post-infinite slash conquest deck because good players or like above average players, when you resolve Phoenix Force on 4 and you got the multiple man hit, they should leave. It's
now my take,
nearly impossible.
My take on Phoenix Force is that it and Hela are the best decks whenever there is uncertainty in the meta. If there's been a meta shakeup, unless you want to experiment with the shakeup, you play those two because those on the high roll can beat anything. And if you hit the low, they have very clear indicators on when you should snap and retreat. So that's what I see them as.
Next is Makari, X-23, and MODOK. Weird. X-23 is a really important card to get. MODOK is, I feel like you should have him by now. He's been in a couple spotlights already.
But in the world, you have to evaluate as the world of if you don't have these.
Right.
These are great cards.
They are. MODOK is the reason this card is good. Flat out. Is the reason. If MODOK didn't exist, this card, APOC especially, would not be as good of a deck. Hela could still work without MODOK. In fact, she doesn't really run MODOK.
Yeah.
X-23 is the best card in
Destroy.
Destroy, I think is fair to say. Yes. And we'll see how
the
reason is.
The combos really work. So, and then Makari is whatever. Phastos alongside Spider-Ham and Corvus Glaive. I love this slate. Phastos is going to lead this slate, though. Corvus Glaive, very good. Spider-Ham, take him or leave him. And then Arashem is
all on his own.
In with like the bottom feeders. He's got Hercules and Black Swan. So they're
they updated
mentioning.
It. So when I check this.
I'm at least
this,
on Snap.fam.
Yeah, no, it does. So when I check this, like a couple of days ago, or 2 days ago. Yeah, it was just him. It was him and then this variant here. That was
fascinating.
So these weren't in here yet. So I wonder if like something like got overlooked and they just didn't add them yet. But what a garbage week for the most part.
But Arashem. So you have to get him.
He's going to be a must buy.
Is he a big bad?
I think they're not going to do any more big bads. I think they're done with that.
That feels so weird to leave it quote unquote unfinished or like uncontinued. It totally makes sense to just not do it anymore because they don't seem to drop cards anyway. But if they do label anything a big bad, it's Arashem.
Is it this month or next month's? Let me see if I can find it. The conquest variant, I believe, for May.
There, scroll down.
What
is that? Baron? Nope. It was a Mysterio, right? Pretty sure it was a Mysterio.
No, there's an upcoming. Maybe it's next month in May. The upcoming
new conquest variant is
conquest
Mysterio
for next month.
For something that got data mined. Maybe it's 2 months out.
I'm trying to remember what it was. There was a series like, it was a Martyr. Martyr is what it was.
Oh, nice.
There was a Martyr Conquest variant. So is that alluding to, Teddy? I know we're about to wrap up, but does that allude to Martyr dropping in a series drop and not only dropping a series drop to series 3? Because this would be the first series 4 or 5 card it is a conquest variant. They've all been series 3 or lower.
Mayhaps it does. If you are optimistic, then you say yes. If you're pessimistic, they're just gonna
give you a variant you don't have. Well, I mean,
no, but actually, so yeah, that's amazing, right? As
you
somebody
would, you would
get
the card,
a series 5 card through the conquest.
So okay, so if you're pessimistic, then actually.
You
your answer
dropping.
Is it's if dropping.
You're optimistic is that they'll now put modern cards as conquest variants for the rest of time. I would actually love to see the system where the conquest variant is one of the cards releasing the previous season.
I think that'd be sick. Or
at least within the last 2 seasons.
Or if it was just like your choice of the last like season cards. Like a redemption, so to speak. Or ooh, what if it was just 6,000 tokens?
Oh, yeah. Like getting a key or, yeah, a card. Like that would be great. But you already get, like, I wish that the Conquest Shop had like a really high tier, obscenely expensive option. And then the variant, I get, they can keep doing whatever they want. The Conquest variants have been pretty fire so far.
One last thing,
yep,
before we go. Are you going to be getting any of the emotes?
Out of the shop?
Yeah, for 2,200 gold.
No.
Okay, I got one. Got the miss minutes.
Not my tempo. I don't emote.
Oh, I do now. Now that because I got the Iceman. I just got the Cosmo today because Captain America finally gave up my shop for the Dan Hip.
Yep.
I got, there's the Red Guardian from the season pass, which is great. There's the other season pass for the Cyclops, which is fine. And then, of yep, course, now I have the Miss Minutes. My favorite thing, like, I think Red Guardian's emote, the one where he's like wiping his brow of like sweat, I think that is a wholesome emote. I think if someone does that in Fist Bumps, or even just that by itself, I take that as them saying, that was a close one. That's how I read it.
I have mostly just received the new ones as BM of like people watching turn six reveal when they know they're, as soon as they see their control card is going to land, but before it does, they emote. And I'm just like, you guys.
Yeah, but like,
you're not smart.
How can you ever BM with the wiping like prior?
I think it depends on when you played it.
I almost always see it played at like the game's finished. Like the winner has been chosen.
Gotcha. I guess I'm fine with that.
However, I love this Miss Minutes emote. I love it. It's fantastic. Like I use it for, like, I know a lot of people say like they use it for like ropers and stuff. No. No. I've been using it when someone does something that I'm just like, really? Really? You're going to do that to me? Like when I was setting up for a Wong Black Panther, and then I was about to Zola it, and then they Spider-Maned my Black Panther away to a different lane, and I lost. My Zola's just like, just hit him with the Miss Marvel, the Miss Marvel. That'd be a dick move. Miss Minutes, and I'm just like,
the Miss Minutes ones is a good one. I like that.
It's so good. But yeah, I love it.
One final call out, maybe, as I was looking through the the variants, mm-hmm, is a Cassandra Nova art, no ability, no power, but she's there.
Cassandra Nova, what's the date on her?
I'll throw you the link here. Boop, boop, boop. Apparently, this is brand new. She's like not in a cache or anything, but she's just, her artwork is now included.
Interesting. Let me go back to sharing the screen so people
can... She's the only one like that. So it seems like just maybe they contracted an artist kind of ahead of time, or maybe the artist finished something ahead of schedule and it's coming in before it has any framework. But here you go.
We still have a few cards like this where it's just like, right, there's no logo yet and it's just this. Like the Night Nurse is still like that.
Yes.
Uncle Ben has a logo.
He has a logo.
He's not going to be that ability though. I love the flavor of when he dies, you get Spider-Man, but like, God, that's, what is a destroyed deck going to do with an extra Spider-Man?
No. Yeah. And I think Night Nurse is kind of in the position of like, that probably will never happen. Just like as a character, they have so many other heroes to do instead.
I mean, but they got some characters that have like only appeared in like three issues. Like, look at the Infinite.
True.
He has his own isolated run of just being the dude that's like, hello. So
can you hear me?
Yeah, they can definitely do whatever they want with characters. And at least Night Nurse. Maybe they're waiting for Night Nurse because she was in Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, she was in all of those, like all the ones that were in the Defenders. I think she even appeared in Iron Fist as well.
Nice.
So I don't know if they're ever going to bring back any of those characters or if they're going to say that she doesn't, like, really, they're not going to bring her back, but maybe they do. Maybe she makes an appearance in Daredevil because Daredevil was in the Defenders as well.
Right.
They're bringing back a bunch of people, so maybe they can coincide at her release at some point. I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out.
Also, good news, a lot of support for the comic cover cards coming soon.
So excited.
I see a Captain America, a Beast, an Ant-Man, an Abs-Man, an Adam Warlock. You could have a whole dang deck.
And I plan on it.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, again, thank you so much for watching, everybody. Remember, go to patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping. Join as a free member. If you want to show your support through the tiers, we appreciate it. It means a lot. But just go there as a free member. Show your support that way as well. We see that still. You can still participate in polls for votes and stuff like that for like the extra content that you might want to see. You still have a voice in that regard. And of course, next week
at live,
we'll probably do what? You said you have time set away for it for work.
Yep.
What time, like in the evening, do you have set away? What is the earliest we could start, my friend?
Six.
Six your time?
Six my time.
Okay. So let's go for 6:30. Make it nice and easy. So 7:30 Eastern is when we will start. We have that now in stone. 7:30 Eastern will be the live episode. We'll meet up at around six your time, Teddy. We'll prep and all that good stuff and get ready to go. We'll have a chat. You can interact. You ask questions. Like I said, again, next Thursday, which is the 18th at 7:30 Eastern, live. And also go sub to the YouTube channel. Means a lot. So with all that being said, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Join us next week for the live episode, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Don't stop snapping.
Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast hosted and produced by Brad Seffert and Teddy Ninja, originally created by Michael Thurman.